morning. My name is Lama. Welcome to the Kadampa Center. Happy Sunday. In a few minutes, Geshe-la will be coming through this door. If you've never been here before, please, you'll see people standing, so if you just, just stand along with everyone else. And he'll be prostrating toward the altar. And if you feel uncomfortable doing so, and you see other people prostrate, you can remain standing. That's not a problem. And then after Geshe-la is seated and he signals me, we'll be saying some prayers. And they're in either the gold prayer book or in a white binder. And if it's in the white binder, it's in the first page with all the words on it. I think the very first page is like a holy image of Shakyamuni Buddha. So in the gold book, whenever I mention pages, I'm talking about the gold prayer book. If you have cell phones, will you please turn them off or put them on vibrate so as not to disturb the teachings. Geshe-la, on Sunday, Geshe-la invites people to make comments. And when he does, if you please wait to for the handheld mic and speak directly into the mouthpiece, very close to your mouth, because the sound won't pick up. And we are streaming this and recording this. Don't worry, they won't see you because the camera is pointed this way. But we, those who are unable to come, there are many people who are sick or who can't, get out of the house for certain reasons, want to follow along with this discussion. So if you would please speak into the microphone and wait for someone to help bring you the microphone, that would be a great help. Geshe-la has pointed out many times about the advantage of walking around the stupa outside, that beautiful white structure outside that's sort of tiered, and that is a stupa. It is filled with many, many Dharmakaya relics, which are primary relics. Relics such as, sometimes when the relic tour comes through, you see the little pearl bones of Shakyamuni Buddha and others. Those are secondary relics. Dharmakaya relics are even more powerful. And so it's a great accumulation of merit and purification practice just to walk around one time around the stupa. Also to turn the prayer wheels going to and from the on the outside of the building. A prayer wheel it looks like that brown wooden thing that's on Geshe-la's desk. If you have any questions for Geshe-la, we really encourage you to write them down. There are little slips at the front of the front door.
Yeah.
And Donna has. Do you have an announcement? Or?
I have one quick announcement. I'm going to repeat this at the end because it's important. Next weekend, Geshe-la is going to be teaching a weekend teaching on calm abiding meditation, and that will be Friday night, Saturday 10 to 4, and Sunday 10 to 4. So we won't have regular Sunday teachings, and we won't have the children's program next Sunday. So I wanted to speak while the parents were in the room, but everybody's welcome to come for all or part of it. Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, children are welcome to come and sit on the blue cushions if they like, or on the chair right in this area. Okay. So if we'll just sit sort of quietly and get our minds focused on receiving the teachings in a few minutes, so we'll become proper vessels, and to fill our minds for the business of getting here, meeting our dear friends, catching up on things. And according to Master Gyurme Ken Rinpoche Jetsun Losam Dalek, we have been accumulating merit ever since we left home to come to the teachings. Okay. In the Gold Prayer Book, please turn to page 183. 183. And let's chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra between the two lines three times. Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha. Now let's read the four measurables on page 34 in the gold prayer book. In the white binder, it just says four measurables. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. I turn to page 37, and let's chant the four measurables chanting version toward the bottom there, and then the two mantras. So in the white binder, it would be the words in Tibetan by the music notes. Sen chen tam che de wa dong de wei yu dong den po ju chi du Chen Rezig's mantra 8 times and Green Tower's mantra 7 times, keeping in mind those on our prayer list. Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Okay, the children are welcome to go to their classes.
Good morning. Jill, maybe breath cleansing yoga?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all good to record, I think.
We don't need to record.
Huh?
It's good to record.
Yeah.
Is just to cleanse out any ick, make it kind of making it up here, and to make you feel better and start off the day with a good feeling. So everybody stand up. If you haven't done this before, just go with it. Oh, okay. So we're going to take three breaths in. At the end, we're just going to laugh, belly laugh. That's all this is. So inhale.
I learned that from one of our center members' mother. Now she's already passed away. She told me this yoga. So it's a breath cleansing yoga. So maybe next Sunday I will lead. Hopefully. I think laughing is good, because that's the best way to eliminate obstacles, you know. So they just laugh, so then there will be no obstacles. So. Did you do some meditation this morning before class? Maybe one of you want to lead 9-round breathing meditation. Any of you remember 9-round breathing meditation? Yeah, please, yeah. Scott, and maybe later. So this 9-round breathing meditation is good to do at the beginning of any meditation. So also, Scott, if you can explain the purpose of this meditation.
So the purpose of 9-round breathing meditation is to eliminate waste energy. So what Geshe-la teaches is that every thought we have has energy attached to it. And so when we have negative thoughts, or when our attention is scattered and we're thinking of not concentrating on anything and thinking of too many things at once, that we have channels, energy channels in our body. And so these channels become blocked by these negative thoughts, this negative energy, or this scattered energy. And so the purpose of this, and in the Tibetan, is 9-round breathing to eliminate waste energy, to eliminate this waste energy that blocks our channels. So to do this, you take the ring finger of your left hand, and you block your left nostril, and you're going to breathe in, and then take the ring finger of your right hand and block your right nostril and breathe out. And you do this 3 times back and forth. I made a mistake. You use the same hand. So you use the ring finger of your left hand, block your left nostril, and breathe in, and block your right nostril, and breathe out. And you do that 3 times. So once you've done that, then you use the ring finger of your right hand and block your right nostril and breathe in, and then block your left nostril and breathe out, and you do that 3 times. And then once you've done that, you breathe in through both nostrils and out through both nostrils, and do that 3 times. One important thing I forgot is they say it's helpful to sit up very straight when you do this, so make sure your back is very straight when you do this exercise to help clear the channels.
Thank you, wonderful. I just know it's good to lead, maybe next time, maybe alternate, so I think that's the purpose of learning, is to share. So what is the wasted energy? Waste energy. Not wasted. Waste. How do you say wasted or waste?
Probably waste.
Waste, okay. Waste energy. See, that when our thoughts become tight, then that very thought become imbalanced. So then every thought, according to Vajrayana teachings, every thought attached with energy, or comes with energy. Yeah, comes with energy. every thought, energy serves as like horse. Every thought is like person riding horse. So we need that any thought that, because thought are able to travel because of the energies. So now, so every thought comes with the energies according to Vajrayana teachings. So when the thought becomes very tight, or not flexible, so then become imbalance. That thought is considered as an imbalance. It's not balanced. So then very energy that thoughts, comes with the thought, that energy become imbalanced, then that's considered as waste. So that energy, where it goes, according to Vajrayana teaching, that in Vajrayana teachings, where they talk about channels, chakras, all of that. So that energies go through channels. So then many of them, then they get stuck. So then do cause physical discomfort. So then contribute to mental discomfort. Therefore, it's important to learn how to eliminate them, through meditations. So therefore, the 9-round breathing meditation is to how to eliminate, this waste energy that's stuck into our channels, okay? So any form of breathing meditation that we do is very, very important to sit straight, like uncooked Italian pasta, like that. So then, breathe in very long, slow, breathe out long, slow. So that, breathing meditation can be combined with some form of visualizations. When you breathe in, you can visualize you are breathing in all the positive energy or essence possessed by so many things, possessed by people, trees, earth, water, wind, 4 elements. So each element has essence, almost like Amrita, almost like letters. You can visualize, when you breathe in, you can visualize all this essence from the 4 elements and from the people, visualize them as like something pure white color that you breathe in. Okay, so then feel every part of your body, you know, from head to toe. So that when you breathe out, so that you can visualize all this, you know, physical problem, mental problem, all of that, you can visualize them as like black smoke. Then you kind of exhale. Then, you know, go out of your system, so go out of the room, go out of the universe, then disappear. You know? The visual, in Vajrayana teaching, visualization is important. You know? In order to success, do practice successfully in Vajrayana traditions, so visualization is very, very important. So you can, you know, just combine this 9-round breathing meditation with, you know, this kind of visualizations, or 21 breathing meditation, you can, you know, combine with that. 21 breathing meditation, you just breathe from both nose, you don't use your hand. Out, in, one. So that technique mainly to if your mind is wandering, your mind has become monkey, climbing here, climbing there, not able to catch. So then concentrating on your own breath, that's the way to control wandering mind, okay? Wandering mind. So this all, I'm here just repeating them. This all meditation has been taught hundreds of years ago. So it has history and been tested, you know, and produced great results. So if we follow that kind of instructions, then more likely we will make some progress. Huh? Some progress, okay? Nine of the meditation. So, anybody remember mixing the Lung Sen, Lung, mixing mind and energy with space? Anybody remember that meditation? Oh. Oh, yeah. I did explain that many times, so I'm not sure. Not anybody remember? Oh, yeah. So anyway, partially joke, but partially serious, okay? So one of the stories. In Tibet, there's called brown bear, called Tsemo. I think like, way they explain, doesn't sound like a bear, but I think it's bear. But you know, the way they explain, it sounds like almost like wild man. You know, like, kind of like Bigfoot type man. The way they explain, but I don't think, probably it's like some kind of bear, you know. So anyway, so that bear goes outside the hunt. There's some kind of chubby mice that live under the ground. What do you call?
Marmot.
Marmot, very cute. So they live in the hole. So that animals goes near the hole, then it grabs one and put under the butt. Then go again like this, feed another one's left, only left. Then put another one there. So they're saying in monastery, you should not study like that, you know. Put one here, and think there's only here, then you go another one like that. Then in the end, there's only one, but you think that you catch probably 20 of them. At the end, there's only one left. So this breathing meditation, you count first five, okay? First, this is all for knowledge. Then I very much hope that you will share with other people, you know. You just doesn't require any prayer to say, just do that meditation. First you count five. Then you raise the eight, two more. That's seven. Then two more, nine. Then two more, then two more, then till 15. First begin with the five. Then seven. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. You add two more. So what we do, so we breathe out. So please remember, the next time I may ask you to lead. Okay.
breathe. We'll do this 5 times, okay? Then breathe in, 1. Breathe out. Then breathe in. Each time when you breathe in, please count, 5 times. And the end, hold your breath. Hold your breath and at the same time visualize, near your, right next to your belly button, white light shape of egg. So then think, that is your mind. That is your mind, okay? Think that is your mind. And at the same time you hold your breath. No, this is gone. Sorry. This is gone. So, in this case, not hold your breath. In this case, you don't have to hold your breath, okay? Just do 5 times. Exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale. Then think. After that, think. That's right next to your belly button, that's shaped like egg, or pure white. So that's your mind. So then end, you say, pay. Can you say, pay?
Pay.
No, not just pay, pay, really, really loud, pay, okay? Pay. So energy of, energy, the power of the world shoots up that shape like egg, which is, in this case, your mind, it's your thought. Shoots up from here, up, deep in the space. The space has, there's no, has the, you can't really say, it is kind of limitless, right? It's limitless. Then, deep in the space, then just imagine, remain there, that mind, or your thought, or your mind become like space. Clear space, there's no boundary, nothing, Then just pause there, long as you can. That's called mixing mind and energy with space. Instructions or meditations, mixing mind and energy with space. Lungsem Namga, it's called instructions. How is mixing your mind and energy with space. Make sense? Huh? Make sense? Yeah. So then I'm hoping this particular meditation, so when you meditate, in the beginning, kind of fresh, and slowly, then the body and the mind all become kind of sluggish, Called Chihua, it's called Chihua, Chihua. Gopa means, the mind is then become really wild, Chihua is so that this meditation is this forceful method how to eliminate that thinking mind. So, I'm not sure, but this meditation could help deal with the depressions. See, try. So in the end, say, pay. Yeah, pay. Yeah. Every mantra at the end, that's mantra is sacred word. Every mantra ends with pretty much pay. That the power of that word shoots up. That shape like egg. In this case, it's your mind. Shoots up from the center of your channels all the way deep in the space. Then you remain there as long as you can. What do you think? You just think, space, and just think that's your mind. Sometimes when you go to the park, when you lay down, when you look at the space, clear space, what do you see? Just space, there. No limit, there, nothing, like that. Exactly like that, just imagine like that. Then remain there as long as you can. Okay, like that, okay? So I already explained that, So maybe what we need to do, we need to practice. Probably then that's a way to remember. We need to practice, and maybe lead next Sunday. One of you lead that meditation. So, yeah. So then, last Sunday, we had very good discussions. So one gentleman, and it's Leah there, here, asked the profound questions. What is true happiness? What is true happiness? So now remember that the prayer that we say, what we call the four immeasurable, we say in English, then we chant in Tibetan. So I think third line, can you repeat the third line? Four immeasurable, third line. What is third line? So then after that you will discuss, okay, we will have discussions. So that is like, what's your name?
David.
Oh, David asked, you know, this question, I think last Sunday, very profound and very important questions.
May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering.
That's the one. Happiness that's free from suffering. So now everybody needs to, we all need to think, what is that? Happiness.
That is free from suffering.
Happiness that's free from suffering. Huh?
Or inseparable from suffering.
Happiness, dungamevedeva, it's called dungamevedeva. Happiness that's free from suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So that's true happiness. So, So with that, I would like to read, not the Guide to Buddhist Way of Life, so some other books here. This is also part of the mind training text. So I say, just to give you something to think about, not whatever I'm going to say here that we may not able to put into practice right away, but give you something to think about. It's give me something to think about. If we are seriously thinking about true happiness, so then, those instructions, are important, to give some thought. Kalde deva kundanas. If you want all the happiness, that's what it says here. Kalde deva kundanas. If you want all the happiness, deva tamje yongsupangs. Abandon all the desire. Does that sound good? Not talking about hope. It's a desire. Dava thamze yongpang na, if you manage to abandon all the desire, show the deva toba juice, you will achieve best form of happiness. That's what he says, something to think about. So we do what we can do now, rather than sit there, then do nothing, then just think, all kind of problems. That's not probably wise things to do. Kalde deva kuin dana deva tamse yonzo, but deva tamse yonpa na chota deva toba jurus. So that message can be applied when you travel, different countries, like at the airport, bus stations, at the airport, different places. Strong desire for, Papa John pizza do cause problems, especially when you go to Nepal. There is no Papa John. So, not just pizza, it has to be Papa John pizza. So then, that's desire, that's strong desire. Kaze deva kun dana deva tamje yongso ba, deva tamje yongba na chota deva toba juso. Chisi deve jantawas, long as you chase desire. Chisi deve jantawas, long as we chase desire. Chisi deve jantawas, thi padungun minju, we are not going to be satisfied. Am I making any sense? Oh yeah. If my English is not clear, please raise your hand, so I don't mind that you interrupt me, then you can teach me how to pronounce word. So that's good, okay? Chisi deve jantawa thi padungun minchu. So, long as we chase desire, we are not going to be
contain or satisfy. Tela kanda sherabjis. There's something to think of. Kanda sherabjis, doje tene simbatu. Wisdom, other hand, wisdom. Tela kanda sherabjis, doje tene simbatu. If we follow or chase wisdom, more likely we are going to be satisfied and content. So therefore, as I said, no meditations, not just sit down, when you sit down, they're sitting, anybody can sit, dog can sit, monkey can sit, squirrel can sit, chicken can sit, everybody can sit, That's just sitting, it's not meditation. So meditations, to think something positive. So it is very important to come up with some instructions. Doesn't have to be Buddhist version of instructions. Come up with some list, to think something positive, So many things can be like, oh, I'm so fortunate I can see, So fortunate I can hear. So fortunate I can walk. So when you twist your ankle, what do you call it? Sprain. Then you can walk properly. So then after that you realize how important able to walk. There's so many things to think something positive. Oh, the weather is so beautiful. Air is so fresh. No pollutions, beautiful road, clean water, nobody bombing here, no need to worry about somebody going to bomb here, living under fear constantly, also as a human, like animal always, whenever they eat, they always look around, they can even eat peacefully, they always look around, somebody going to eat them, not like that. And some part of the world, people are like that, unfortunately, very, very unfortunately, the constant war is, same like back in Tibet, people live under the constant fear, like that. There are so, every day, so many things, so we have to say, my life is pretty good, I didn't have to eat, the happiness has to create it by thinking, not just by simple wish. We have to think something positive, following the wisdom, more likely you will be content or satisfied. Shedachin Ngombe means if someone content by satisfied or content by wisdom, Sivya Ondo means that person is not going to be carried out by all this, different activities. Papa Tomei Shari, Shadabji Tsova Chuji Longchevi, Devani Sadunda Pumeda Lukas, there's like what we call happiness, or maybe it's called happiness, or actually it's like sensory pleasure. Sensory pleasure, but we call it happiness, but it's not really happiness because it's called, from the Buddhist point of view, it's called contaminated happiness, because its happiness does not increase. More you use, the happiness decrease. So that's called sattvic deva, contaminated happiness. So it doesn't increase. If it increases, that's a true happiness. Sattung, eating, drinking, like then hanging out with women. Then, also and so forth. Driving a nice car, like a nice car, the first day get very excited, a couple of days, parking the car, then look back and how it looks, then after 1 month, even not notice is there, So then, like that. Sadhuna, for me, the look also, but deva launched with deva, ye matuashi, so. Someone out there be content by following wisdom is not like that. So then if there's somebody raised question, how is that? How is that? So sadhu so la longevity devil dita chabis. all the sensory pleasures are not like, it like has a spread all throughout all bodies. Eating is just here, no? It's not here. When you eat, hand is happy or not happy, you can say. When you eat cheesecake, can you say your hand is happy or not happy? Maybe here is happy, so then they say, no, like this. That's what it means. It's not, it doesn't pervade entire body, so. Sadhus and Longi with the literature, I mean, but that's the first one. It doesn't pervade everything. Heavily rely on external object. That kind of pleasure or happiness heavily rely on external object. So, it doesn't come whenever you need, whenever you want, because it heavily rely on external object. Say, if there's no Papa John, that happiness won't come. Nepal, happiness based on Papa John pizza will not happen, because Papa John pizza is not there. That's what it means. It won't come whenever you need it. It won't come. But wisdom, happiness created by wisdom will come whenever you need it to come. It's not heavily rely on external object. It's temporary. Therefore, that kind of pleasure or happiness is temporary. It's temporary. Comes from now here, come, called realm, three realms, desire realm, form realm, formless realm, according to Buddhism, the three realms. So this kind of pleasure will not be in those three realms, you know. Pretty much desire realm, form realm, probably, in form realm, probably there's no supermarket, there's no cheesecake. If the external object exhausts, then that kind of happiness will be finished. You know? Easy to destroy by enemies, you know, because heavily rely on external object. Wisdom is insight. Wisdom is insight. Nobody can destroy it. Even if you are imprisoned, like many cases, like Tibet, some of the monks there, you know, like Chöndö Rinpoche was in prison like 32 years, prison. But he has happiness that nobody can, even the prison guard cannot steal that, no, nobody can see no happiness like that. Easy to disturb by enemy, that kind of, you know, happiness that we level, or like sensory pleasure. Sechi Machado never, those kinds of happiness will not go beyond this light. No. Tembe Pashimata Chobakumba. Tembe, rely on them is not going to be 100% satisfied or content. Tembe Pashimata is not going to be okay. Oh, now it's complete. Oh, now happiness related to cheesecake is now just completed. Not like that. It will never complete. It brings more complications, yeah. We all know, right? It brings more complications, more problems. Happiness, or the sensory pleasure, that we level as happiness, getting there, the whole process is kind of complicated. When you get into that, you know, it's not that, you know, not that that easy, you know. So it's beginning, the middle, and the end, there's all kind of, you know, complications. So, other hand, happiness, free from suffering, beginning, no complications. In the middle, no complications. In the end, no complications. So, Zene to be devashis, Dungashiva Dene means that was Zene to be Zene, means, you know, have some kind of skin problems, then it can itch, you know, very badly, So then scratch, a temporary feel kind of good, but that's like temporary relief from the itch. You know, long as the skin problem is there, it's going to itch all the time. You know, generally, we just call that happiness. We just call that pleasure of scratching. We call that happiness. You know. So like that. On here, you know, you have like shower, you can take shower all the time. In monastery, not now, no, when I was there, you know, like during 70s, mid-70s, early 60s, during that time, you know, taking shower is very complicated. So then we do each. So what we do, so we act like bear, polar bear, or maybe like grizzly bear. We just take out our shirt and go back to the wall. So that's how to release. So at that time, when you go to monastery, you don't see any clean wall. All the wall is kind of like has been dirty. So you see the difference between happiness is created by wisdom and happiness is created. Happiness, what we call happiness, but actually no, it's all in the mind. It's all here. It's not there. It's all here. You know, if you think, oh, I'm good, oh, I can see, I can hear, I'm healthy. You know, I have nothing to worry about food. You know, so no need to worry about somebody going to bomb on my house. You know, so I can say a few nice words, you know, say some, oh, that's pretty good, you know, in samsara, that's pretty good. What do you think? It's not bad, you know, it's pretty good. But, you know, so you remember that one of the center members, he works for the animal shelters. So the one animal shelter has like 45 rabbit, pure white, big rabbit. So they say, okay, they are going to probably kill them. So then the member, he called me, so asking if I can rescue them. I have no place to put them. There's not just one, there's 45 of them. So then I called Nolan. There's Nolan there who has farm, Pittsburgh. I called him and said, Nolan, I have one request. He said, what is that? And I said, well, first you have to say yes, then I will tell you. So then he said yes, and I said, okay, I have 45 rabbits. So on the phone, he kind of choked. He didn't, went silent. So then he said, okay, now I have to clear this house, the kind of barn where he put horse. He said, he had to clean one of them. So anyway, we rescued 45 of them. So, so then, then all the complications begin. So now they, you know, they call vet, what do you call vet? Veterinary. Veterinary?
Oh,
vet. Vet. Yeah. Because no one's worried that they are going to produce more babies. So we need to separate them, male and female. Nobody's idea, I know what's with male and female. So they call the vet, so they all went there to catching them, big rabbits, you know, not easy. Took a lot of time in order to catch them. Go like that, no. So anyways, finally that's done. So then, not very far from Nolan's farm, there's one very, very kind lady, you know, that she's been rescuing all kinds of animals, cows, sheep, all the, you know, tons of many rabbits. So finally, one of the members found that lady, so the lady is willing to take all the rabbits there. So some of them die anyway. So we call that liberation bunny liberation missions or something like that. Anyway, so, anyway, we took them then to the lady, so then, you know, brought a lot of food, many, many bags of food, put it there, went to there, then released, left there. So then one member asked me, what do you think, Gisela? I said, this is the goodest it can get in the rabbit realm. That's the goodest it can get in the rabbit realm, so no need to worry about somebody going to eat you. So then same here, you know. always, you know. So please come up with some kind of instructions, then you can think, you know, daily basis, okay, first I'm going to think like that, then the second step, third step, fourth step, like that. So that's all this, you know, Lamrim is about. Lamrim is about how to think something positive step by step, stages of the path. You know, you meditate. And you are not just sitting like chicken, you are thinking. Not just thinking, you are thinking something good. When you think good, in the end, you feel good. When you feel good, then you know, that's good, that's very good. No? Oh yeah, so now here, what I would like to hear from you is like, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? Called shut up. In Tibetan Buddhism, there's a definition of wisdom. So I want to hear from you, what is wisdom? Oh. This morning I've been trying to read a little bit here, there, you know, so not much time, but what is wisdom? So, so here, following wisdom, more likely we are going to be content. What is wisdom? What's the definition of wisdom? Okay, I just want to discuss that. And if you want to, anybody want you to contribute to say a little bit about wisdom, no? Wisdom, what is wisdom? This is not a test. It's just with my folded head, I'm begging you to say something or request you to share your knowledge of what is wisdom.
Would wisdom be like knowledge that allows us to stop the suffering and get rid of the afflicted mind and make us happy?
Yep.
Make us happy.
Yeah. Well. Thank you for coming.
So Geshe-la, from the foundations of all good qualities, it says, you know, may we become, you know, overcome the distraction to wrong objects and to correctly analyze the meaning of reality. So when I think about wisdom, I think about both of those two things.
If you are sitting on the chair, please then please face to the audience. You know, there is a, yeah. So I'm listening very carefully.
When I think of wisdom, I think of the ability to look at a situation and then take the big picture, looking long term, short term, not your immediate needs, but overall long term. And so you're taking in more of the situation for wisdom.
Einstein said that the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing over and over again when it's not working. I'm thinking that the definition of wisdom is having the flexibility to evolve and try something else.
I don't know if it's a definition of wisdom, but might be part of it. Is also the capacity to discern what is the need from desire. Every time that in a practical way, every time your heart or your mind feels that you need something, and you asking yourself and know that that's is you actually need that or you want that, and being able to differentiate that and take action. And also take action upon that. Make sense?
Yeah. For me, wisdom changes every day, but really, at its core, for me, and this is just me, it's what to adopt and what to discard in a given situation. And usually for me these days, that means anything I'm thinking out of a crazed mind, I discard. And anything that brings me back to center, that's what I take on. Thank you.
I like what Karen was saying a moment ago about from the Lam Rim, the second part, the ability to correctly discern reality, but to see things as they really are. I think the closer we are to seeing things the way they really are rather than through the distracted mind, the more wisdom that we have.
I don't know. I think in terms of examples, and so... Hello. Yes. Now you can hear me. I think in terms more of examples. So, one thing I was thinking when you were telling your story is one example that might come to mind first. You know, is that when Geshe-la calls you for a favor, wait before you promise. But the second round might be to think further past that and to think what benefit really is there. And in the, like Scott was saying, in the hecticness of life. Looking past your own circumstances to what truly needs to be done.
I want to say something. This morning, so I've been reading about wisdom. You know, I've been thinking about wisdom. I've been reading about wisdom. I'm in my room. Karen came in to pick me up, and Karen is chatting with Gisela. So. Don't you agree that we are so become so like Isis, we have become as so good at inviting problems? Do you agree?
Yeah.
You know, I'm reading about wisdom in my room. Karen and Gisang were chatting, so the Gisang would then knock on the wall, basically calling me. If Karen was here, in my mind. That's not how you call me, because I'm your teacher. I deserve better than that. But I don't act on. I could say, come down, how dare that you, that's how you call me, that I'm your teacher. So you say, oh, Gisela, please come down, Karen is here. Is that important? It's not important. No, it's not that important. So see that mind is not trained, Every single thing doesn't require much to destroy your mind. There I'm reading about spiritual book. Spiritual books. Reading about wisdom. When I need, there's no wisdom. It's just ignorance. I could just, scream or yell. But, it's like every circumstance like that, always have something that how come you call me like that, Does it really matter? Are you going to sacrifice your happiness for that? So, sometimes you are successful, sometimes you are not. But, thousand mile journeys begin with one step. One step, and it's pretty good. So, just want to share, that just happened this morning. Can you imagine? Reading spiritual books. Can you imagine not reading spiritual books, what's going to happen? Not easy. But we never give up. Okay? Just want to share that with you. Then?
So I was thinking about wisdom, that it could be, one way of looking at it could be an individual's experiences could be, after they experience that, what they learn from it and how they learned whatever path is going to lead them to happiness or the best results based on their experiences. So, and from that, I feel like two different people's wisdom could be different, given their circumstances and situations, the people around them and whatnot, that the wisdom that one person could have could be different from the wisdom that another person could have. Depending on the situation.
Well, I like what someone said earlier about there seems to be an active component to it. Just having knowledge may not necessarily make you a wise person. What you do with the knowledge and putting it in action seems to be very important as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for everybody and for you too. What you're saying about how you felt when he knocked on the door and somehow like your the ego
knock on the door, that's better. But
oh, he knocked on the door.
The wall.
Oh, yeah.
Not coming all the way up to knock on my door. Just from the bottom of the stairs, knocking the wall.
But my question is, like, so many people, many of you is a mother and you're raising a child, and when you have to deal with that kind of attachment that you have as you're the authoritarian figure, you're the person that's going to teach her your child a good behavior, or how dare you talk to me or act that way when I'm your mother, how you can detach yourself and you still inflict the respect, like your child should respect you. Because when you're with a friend or with a student, it's a different, you can let it go of that. But when it's your child, it's a different dynamic. Yeah. So it's a question.
Yeah, please answer. Please answer.
This is from very personal experience with my family, my wife's family in particular, where I watched my sister-in-law with her little boy, who was just nasty and disrespectful, and he'd say the worst things to her, to his mother, when he was little, and the way she dealt with it was just continuing to be kind and loving. And just not even acknowledging all that. She hurt her terribly, but she didn't outwardly react against it in a negative way. And now, as a man, he's a wonderful human being. He does good work, and he cares for his parents and his family, and he's turned into a beautiful person. But he started out as a little boy. We had names for him, you know. I mean, his name was Nick, and we used to call him Nick something that rhymes with it, and we, you know, it was that bad. But he's a wonderful guy. That's the story is in here.
Hey, just to piggyback on that, I'm both a teacher and a mom. I work in early education, so I work with the little ones. And a fun thing to remember about kids, especially ones that are five and younger, is that ego develops before compassion. They definitely learn independence before they learn cooperative play, which essentially means that tiny kids are jerks. And that's okay. That is age appropriate. So that mom that responded with love instead of getting emotionally involved was absolutely correct, because when kids get emotional and they use words that they're not supposed to use, you know, they snatch, they shove, they bite, they do any kind of behavior that as adults or even older children would be appalled by, because we all know you're not supposed to do that stuff, but that's because we know how to behave in social settings. The younger the kid is, the less they know how to behave in a social setting. And also, as they're developing, kids tend to have a little bit of a boundary-pushing curiosity. Like, let's see if I do this just to see how mommy reacts or how teacher reacts. And unfortunately, depending on the kid's personality, if they get a rise, they find that entertaining, so they might want to do it again. So the more appalled you act, unfortunately, they may be inclined to do it again. So maintaining your calm and maintaining your loving composure is a very, very good thing. So yes, talk to your kid about not doing behaviors that you don't want to do, but at the same time, definitely a good thing to maintain your cool about it, because if you make a big deal about it, the kid is going to make a big deal about it too, and that is not something that you want to see as a parent.
So responding to the question whether any ideas, I have two boys, 10 and 12, and as every parent knows, there's those challenging situations. I just try to remember that they're doing the best they can at any given moment in time, that they all have a desire to be happy deep down. And the third thing I try to remember is that emotionality always travels in twos and threes. And if I can not get emotionally involved and just let it play its course, sooner or later it will run out of steam. If I just remain cool, calm, and collected as best I can, then they will run out of steam soon enough, because emotionality does never travel in ones. It runs out of steam pretty quickly. So.
I'll comment on wisdom. I don't have it, so I don't know, but this is a guess. First of all, I think understanding impermanence takes a lot of wisdom, and it's a very important thing to try to understand. And secondly, I think that through evolution and our ancestors, we're born selfish with jealousy and a lot of negative emotions and attributes, and I think with wisdom we can see those things in ourselves, and we can see those things in others, and we can learn to accept them and in a way to rise above them. And if we can see that in ourselves and others and have the wisdom to realize that it's kind of our nature and to go beyond it, I think that would be true wisdom.
So, it's my personal experience. However, I'd say the majority of our problems towards the kids come from the difference in realities. They have a totally different reality versus what do we have. And explaining a child what we think is correct may be just so far from their understanding trying to explain more and more and expect the same, a better result, it's just not going to work. So most of the times what I found out that works best is that you just come up with an answer that they would just not expect, or any kind of reaction that throws them off, and they might just say, okay, well, I actually run into one of the situations when my daughter asked me, "You just tried to distract me. I'm not gonna fall for it." And she's eight. And I said, "You are right. So how do you want me to talk to you? Like I talk to your mom or to an adult, or do you want me to address like you are a child, or you are my daughter?" And she paused for a second. She's like, "I don't know, you figure it out." I still think that strategy works.
I think, therefore, the family is, very, very important. So that's why, I think, generally speaking, you can never, ever repay the kindness that, you see from your parents. It's like sacrifice they make is like unbelievable, So, so all the parents should not think, "Oh, that I'm not able to meditate here, not doing this." you are creating like huge amount of marriage every single day. So doing like, you know, you are doing, you just need to talk some motivations. And like, you know, you are practicing generosity, you are practicing, almost you are practicing six perfection with your kids. You know, so you, every day you are practicing, whether you can sit on the cushion or not, you are really, His Holiness Dalai Lama one time traveling the airplane, and His Holiness said, you know, that one mother, you know, His Holiness was so inspired that how much patience that mother has dealing with her kid in the airplane. His Holiness, that's quite amazing, you know. So all the mother, all the parents, you know, you are creating a lot of merit, you know, you are like practicing like every day. So, and I'm the oldest from my family. I remember I went to monastery when I was 7 years old. So then before that I was at home, so I'm the oldest child. So the problem that I caused for my parents, not through gadget, you know, through iPad or telephone, no, there's no television, there's nothing. But you know, like gathering with the other kids in the village, and like breaking someone's windows. Every time when my parents come for work, there's report. Oh, Gele did this and that. Then always every day they have drills, complaints. So, and also I I shared with the kids. I shared big of my the problem that caused for my parents. So, and yeah, so you pray for their health and their well-being all the time. So that's why in Buddhism it's called all mother-centered beings, able to see that every single being on this planet, see them as like kindest person on this planet, like your own mother, try to see that, you know. So anyway, so just want to share that with you. So anybody else want to share? And, but you know, physically I don't have children. I'm a monk, but technically I have many children, like back in the monastery. So now they're all grown up. One time I took that, you know, you can become monks traditionally when you are able to, when you put some grain, some seeds outside, then you have to guard, according to Vinayaka Sutra, you have to guard them. If you are able to chase all the birds, then age-wise you are qualified to become monks, qualified to go to monastery. So in my monastery, you know, so now they are all grown up. One time I took these four little boys, like they are like 8, 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere there, four of them, took to the zoo. I cannot even bring them to the restaurant because they, even the monk, they fight all the time. So what I do, I just put them in the room, then I go by myself and buy food, bring the food there. You know, so not easy, you know, so like, even in the monastery. Yeah, so, but in the monastery, pretty disciplined, you know, whole thing. When you go to the prayer gatherings, there's a discipliners walking constantly between the line, who's napping, who's talking. You know, so very gently. We are napping. not screaming, not yelling. We are napping and then very gently. All the monks see, you know. Then, so some kids, the naughty monks, they put the butter here. Then when the discipline cannot catch. And I was, you know, I was elected as a, like, not disciplinary, but disciplinary, they are from the high class. You know, so then there's two monks, they elected two monks to disciplinary helper. So I was elected from my class, I was one of them, I served there for 2 years. Then there, you know, all the kids, they are under the separate line. We have like monastery, we have line. Each line there's 100 monks, you know, so there's probably like, can you imagine, there's 2,500 monks, there's like probably 25 lines. Last line, that's my responsibility. That's all children. So I walked, up and down, make sure that kids don't play. I realized every morning I go to the small prayer room, I pray, you know, so I don't need to say anything to them, you know, so please help me. So then I walk, and I notice what they're doing. They are playing with my shoes. So they are making the dough out of bread, you know, we serve thin bread. So they make all kind of figures, then they attach to my shoes. You know, they make something, then they go like this, then they attach to my shoes. So I have no idea when I'm walking by, everybody's going, but what is doing? No, just kids, no, just they just play, kids. Not easy at all, not easy. On the other hand, we have no clue who put it there, we have no clue. Everybody, they were not going to say it, who put it there, no clue. So dealing with the kid, even in the monastery, is not easy at all, not easy. So, I have deep sympathy for all the mothers, the parents, you know, so you do the best you can do. Okay, isn't it? Dr. Brown, please, what, you want to contribute about something about wisdom? We are here to discuss about wisdom. Wisdom. Yeah, please.
Wisdom. That's the topic?
Here, the topic began like this, you know. From last Sunday, they're talking about the true happiness.
Right.
The gentleman asked, what's the true happiness? What's true happiness? So then today I read some books, some message from the books, you know, like chasing desire will never fulfill our, you know, satisfactions. We're never going to satisfy. By following wisdom, more likely we will be content or satisfied. So I just want to hear what is wisdom, and how to follow them.
I guess I'm on the spot. So I was listening earlier, someone was talking about impermanence, and I think you know, that's an aspect of wisdom, is recognizing that nothing lasts, that everything's in a constant state of flux. So even some strong negative emotion arises in the mind, recognizing that it's impermanent. But, you know, I think it's one thing, if I have children too, and it's, you know, when things are not going well, it's real easy. I have no control over what comes up in my mind. I'm clear about that. So when agitation comes up, what's required for me is mindfulness, being aware when that negative mind, that agitated mind arises, catching it as quick as I can, and then reaching up into the Buddhist medicine cabinet called the Teachings on Impermanence, for example, and bringing that awareness into that moment, bringing that wisdom of impermanence into the moment that this won't last, and just kind of not reacting, but staying with whatever's there, and then it passes. So that's sort of like wisdom in action, where we can bring our mindfulness of the Dharma, the various teachings of the Dharma, into a moment where things are not going well, and then using that to solve our problems, then, you know, the problem resolves and we can breathe again, or at least I can breathe again. And so I think that's, you know, being mindful of whatever's arising in the mind, which we have no control over, at least that's my experience. But then when something negative does arise, being able to bring Dharma wisdom to the moment to solve my problems and move on. That's it.
Contentment. I'm not content. That's just joking. Contentment following wisdom. Satisfaction following wisdom.
Contentment.
Satisfaction, contentment.
Is that a question?
No.
Is that a question?
Yeah, just want to hear more about that.
Yeah.
I think, don't you think that's important?
Yeah.
The contentment, satisfaction, contentment, satisfaction, following wisdom.
Yeah.
Practically, we can't give up all desire. No? We can't give up. Practically, Swami Deva Sa, celestial being, happiness of celestial being, me, human, happiness of human being. What is that? Physical happiness or mental happiness? So here now, following wisdom, there's more talking about mental happiness than physical happiness. So I think we did talk about that. Then you, Dr. Brown, you said something to when I said this quote. If you want all the happiness, kalde deva kum dono deva tanje yonso pang, you abandon all the desire. Is that possible? Or that's what he said. The text, there's a text. The Lama has been passed away long, long, hundreds of years ago. Deva tanje yonpa na chode deva. If you abandon all the desire, you will have all the happiness. Is that true? Are we suffering because of desire? Our lives become more complicated because of desire? There's something to think about. So now, according to this statement, it's very clear, following desire, that we are not going to be content. That's what the bottom line that stands are saying. But in America, there's not, there's a different case. Everywhere you go, there's like desire, 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 you know, like more, you know, bigger. Every American people in this country, 90% of people in America, are they happy?
Yeah.
Following desire, it becomes happy. American is the one should be happy and the first on the earth. Look at the size of the supermarket. No? So I just wonder, you know, when I read this, for me, intellectually, it makes sense. It makes sense. So now, we as a friend, you know, how we can, you know, thousand journey miles begin with one step. Is there maybe ways to get there? So, I'm not preaching you. So I'm just explaining. So can you say a little more how to, what do you think about that statement here?
Say it again.
What do you think about this statement, abandoning all desire is the way to achieve best happiness?
Well, I think the first thing that I think about is that, you know, sometimes we talk about the teachings on the eight worldly concerns, you know, the things that we're addicted to, and it's craving, it's desire, it's a strong kind of desire, and we're all addicted to delicious things, everything that's beautiful and feels good, and all the good stuff in life we want, and the opposite we crave not to have. And the ego, the self-centered mind, the egocentricity, is the thing that's craving the deliciousness and feels aversion toward things that aren't delicious or wonderful. And so the real source of all of our suffering is this clinging for deliciousness. And the solution is to let go. Now, easy to say, hard to do. But to be able to enjoy things without clinging and experience uncomfortable things without feeling aversion is not easy, but it's this seeing through the illusion of self-centeredness and letting go and letting go and letting go all day long, that's called satisfaction, that's called peace.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you. I just want to say one more thing, then I'll stop. What do you think about this kind of mindset? I want to be happy, you know, all the time. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. You know, going to shopping, no matter going, talking to your friends, you know, I want to be happy or whatever. There's two mindsets, you know. I want to be happy or whatever. Or maybe go with the flow. So, what do you think about that mindset? Is this good to have or is, what do you think? All the time, not just one time, all the time I want to be happy. Or I'm happy. There's two different mindsets, you know. I'm happy, you know, pretty good, I'm happy because the reason why I'm happy. I can see, I can hear, when I see somebody struggling to spend all this money just to see, oh, I feel lucky, I can see, you know, I can walk, or I can exercise, I can cook, you know, I want to be happy, that mindset, and I am happy. Because that's the reason I'm happy, that's why I'm happy, that's the reason, you know. I may have a lot of reasons why I'm not happy, but I have also a lot of reason why I'm happy. So, need to know, like I said, it's everything, this is all, meditation is all about thinking, you know, day to day life. You know, every day is new. Every day is new. You know, yesterday is gone. What is today? It's today, you know. The tomorrow has no guarantee. You know, so to what is today? So, that's what meditation is about, you know. So, I really want to be happy. Is that mindset good or what? It won't help, right? That mindset. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. Siddhi, this is called siddhi chinde. This life. In this life, I want to be happy. Siddhi chinde. Is that happiness or is that problem? Lung la kuna tenji ju. Lung la kuna sna. Lung la kuna. Lung means the wind. If you just let it flow, with the wind?
Yes.
Ultimate happiness will follow if you just have a let it flow with the wind or let it go. There's another quote from some books. Yeah. When I went to Nepal, my holiday is my holiday, you know. Went there, I want to be happy. Because my holiday, nobody interferes my holiday. People cannot fight because it's my holiday. We have no control. People will fight, you know. So when you fight, and then you know, because you are so thinking, tired, that I want to be happy, this is my holiday, everything has to be perfect. How much control you have? How much control you have in your own mind? And how much control you are going to have for other people's mind? How they think, you know. Just like just reviewing the word sometimes does help, you know. If you said that, oh, I want to be happy, if that mind is a problem, then I should let that mind flow through the wind, then I'll be okay. Then it's not hold very tightly, just let it flow through the wind, and I'll be okay, you know. Maybe I'll be ultimately happier than being miserable, holding their thoughts very tightly, have very little control to the situation. Just, you know, to something to think about, okay, okay. No, so much said, okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so in the Gold Prayer Book, turn to page 246, and if you have the white binder, just turn to the back side of the same page, and we'll read the dedication from Master Shantideva. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds.
May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be free. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om Tadetu Tadetu Re Soha. 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 Om Tadetu Tadetu Re Soha.
And just a couple of quick announcements. A reminder that next weekend, Geshe-la is very kindly doing a weekend teaching on calm-abiding meditation. That will be Friday evening at 7 and Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 4. And that means we won't have our regular Dharma for a Happy Life on Sunday morning, and there will not be a children's program. The other thing is that today is our monthly social Sunday tea, so there will be some food and an opportunity to socialize afterwards. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yes.